Hello everyone, you're very welcome to this very special audio walk coming to you from the magnificent country of Iceland. You may be able to hear a waterfall in the background. I'm currently standing above the magnificent Gullfoss, which is probably one of the biggest waterfalls I've ever seen. The spray flinging itself up into the air. It is raining, but I don't really care because it's just such a wonderful sight. This really is an incredible waterfall. There's people standing on a promontory in front of me overlooking it, and they just look like ants in comparison to this huge gorge where gallons of water is just thundering down. The river's wide, the gorge is narrow, so all of the water has just got to channel its way down over this volcanic rock that is surrounding
us.
Tom? Sally, what are you doing here?
Oh my God, Tom! You're in Iceland!
I am!
You didn't tell me you were coming!
Fancy seeing you here!
Oh my God! Actually, to be fair, we ought to let the listeners know, really, what we're up to, don't you?
I suppose so, yes. We're actually here on a photography trip. I am leading a group of photographers here and teaching them how to photograph this spectacular landscape. And Sally was one of the crazy ones who decided she wanted to come along.
And actually, to be fair, it's the most amazing place on earth. I mean, I'm stood here at the top overlooking the waterfall now, and if I look over to my left, way across, there's some very jagged looking mountains, and just behind them is the edge of a glacier. I can't describe it, it's just absolutely stunning, isn't it? I mean, it's a very barren landscape, but it's stunning.
When you first arrived, when you saw that glacier, it looked like there was clouds coming down over the mountains, didn't it? But it's actually ice, which is amazing to think about.
So what else is on the agenda then for this week, Tom?
We're going to hopefully head to plenty more waterfalls, maybe even more spectacular than this one.
That's going to be hard.
Indeed.
I mean, it is pretty impressive.
It is. We're going to go and see some black sand beaches. We may get closer to a glacier than we are currently, even though we are pretty close already. And hopefully some cultural aspects of Iceland as well, from turf houses to the iconic churches as well.
Well, that sounds absolutely fascinating. And let's see how we get on. And hopefully, if it doesn't snow, we'll be okay driving everywhere.
Indeed, on the other side of the road.
Right then, shall we get going? Because it's getting a bit wet.
I think so. Let's press on.
So, Tom, tell me all about where I'm standing today.
Today, Sally, you are at the Sólheimajökull Glacier.
Are you sure you said that right?
I need to put my teeth back in now, but I think I did. Yeah. So, it's not the largest glacier in Iceland. In fact, the largest one is probably about 10 times the size of this one, but it is pretty sizeable. I mean, walking up to it, it's probably about another 10 feet above our heads. So it's very, very large indeed.
And this isn't big?
This isn't.
You see, to
me, in Icelandic standards, this is small.
It looks huge.
There are some amazing icebergs floating away from it as well, aren't there?
Yeah.
That are just glinting in this lovely sunlight.
Have you seen the blue colour?
Yes, it's beautiful, isn't it? Sort of like a turquoisey blue. And the cracks in the rock as well that are just glowing and glistening.
And it's ever so calm here today, isn't it?
It is. After the wind we experienced this morning at the Black Sand Beach, it is like...
Yeah. Well, the thing is, look what you're standing on.
Well, yes, we're still on the lava... Not lava.
Well, it's like black grit.
It is, isn't
it? It's completely black. It is...
Yeah,
it is volcanic, rock that's been crushed down and looks like almost like black sand.
Yeah.
It's amazing, really. And there's quite a few people about, you know, obviously it's popular with tourists. And there's also, we've seen quite a few people coming off the glacier with crampons and ice axes.
Indeed.
Crazy people. Why would you want to do that?
Don't fancy walking up there in my walking boots, and it might become a little bit slippery.
But it is stunning, because obviously surrounding the glacier on all sides, there's some very high peaks.
Yes.
Very green peaks with some very large boulders on the top, which does bother me slightly.
And as we were walking down, I heard the rush of a waterfall as well. It must be just out of sight, but it must be huge from the sound echoing down the valley.
Wow. Right, shall we walk down to the waterfront?
Let's do it. Oh, it's definitely a bit chillier today. If we're in Yorkshire, I'd say we were nithering, but I don't know what the Icelandic for that is. Anyway, Sally, whereabouts are we today?
Well, Tom, this is very exciting for me, as I studied geology when I was younger. So we are currently stood on the North American / Eurasian tectonic plate rift. So for people that don't know what that means, I've currently got 1 foot on the bit of land that stretches to North America and 1 foot on the bit of land that stretches to Europe. And basically those are the pieces of land called the crust, the Earth's crust, that are all broken up into fragments, and they all jostle with each other as they sort of move about ever so slightly around the top of the planet. So it's like the outer layer of the planet that we build our houses on. And this particular point is a fault line where the two of them meet and they rub up against each other. And then obviously what is around us, as you're now going to explain, is what happens.
Indeed. Yeah. So as we're looking down this massive gorge, we've got these very brooding looking dark rocks on either side of us, which are protruding quite majestically into the air. The little pointy bits on the top, the very jagged. And then in amongst this valley where the path runs through, we've got fantastic autumn colours on the trees as well. We've timed it absolutely spot on. There's some beautiful silver birch trees dotted about. I saw a rowan back there with red berries on, and I've even seen a few redwings flitting around as well, which has been lovely to see. They're a bit like what we would think robins are in Britain. They were coming right up onto the fence posts and coming to say hello. And redwings, they're beautiful birds. They get their name because the underside of their wing is red, and they're probably about blackbird size and speckledy brown elsewhere. So yeah, very nice.
And to be fair, there hasn't been much in the way of birds at all, has there?
There hasn't, no. We've seen a few swans, a few starlings and a pigeon, and we've got chickens where we're staying, but that's about it, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and a lot of geese heading south for the winter.
Indeed, yeah.
So there's a lot more to see here, so shall we have a wander on and see what else there is?
Yes, I think there's the waterfall behind us, which is very intriguing, so have a wander down to that and see what else we can find.
Okay. So I'm here with Kate, who is another member of our photography week away in Iceland. And Kate, tell me where we are at the minute.
We are sat at Oxara Foss, which is a very noisy waterfall with quite a few tourists, and there is a lot of rocks around us which forms a nice circle with a very long boardwalk, and it is a lovely place to be.
And the sun's come out, hasn't it now?
It has, finally.
But it's still very, very cold.
It is indeed.
And we've just spent the last 10 minutes, haven't we, trying to take photographs, although neither of us really know what we're doing, to be fair. But we're getting the hang of it slowly.
We are, slowly.
And Tommy's trying to teach us. But yeah, as you might hear, you can hear the waterfall in the background. It is a little bit breezy. It is very cold. We are in, well, we're actually at the site of the fault line, aren't we?
Yes.
So the waterfall comes over the top of the rocks where the fault line is. And it's just absolutely stunning, really. You know, it's just surrounded by grass, boardwalks, people, lots and lots of tourists.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we head down the path now, Kate?
Let's go
find something else. So Kate and I have just walked
further along and we've come across the most random sight. Kate, can you just explain to everybody what we can see?
Bog snorkeling, which in layman's terms, scuba diving in Icelandic freezing cold water.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of people actually paying to put on thermal dry suits, climb into a hole in the rocks, down into some freezing cold water, go for a swim. Do you think they're mad, Kate?
Yes, absolutely. It's not something I would do.
I mean, it is only, what, two or three degrees. Stood here, surrounded by water and low rocks. And what have you... Oh, my God, Kate, look where they are.
Yeah, they're right out in the far distance and they just look like dots on a map.
That is crazy. I hope they're not flinking us swimming away from Iceland. I mean, we have to say it is an inland,
yeah,
inland lake.
You could actually swim out.
But... Anyways, you can hear there's a few people starting to leave now. So we are in a national park. So I think maybe it's time we got ourselves back to the bus and
get warmed
up. Well, good morning, everybody. So today, Kate and I have just climbed, what was it,
469 steps?
Yeah, 69 steps. All the way to the top of what, Kate?
Skógafoss, which is a waterfall on the Skóga River in the south of Iceland at the cliff marking the former coastline. And it is 60 metres high up here.
Yeah, it looks 60 metres high, to be fair. Apparently, this river that goes all the way behind us up a very, very big mountain is quite pure and you can drink it. But I'm not getting in there to even tempt that. And I'm also... I've tried to take a photograph from the edge and I can't get close to it because it, with that high up, my brain's like, no, don't do it. So we are, yeah. Describe what you can see around us, Kate.
Fantastic scenery, mountains, hills. The sun is out behind us and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, and there's lots and lots and lots of people, isn't there, here today?
It's a very massive tourist attraction.
Massive tourist attraction in southern Iceland. And also, when we were down at the bottom of the waterfall earlier, Kate, we saw the most unusual sight, didn't we?
We did.
We saw the filming of a Bollywood movie. And I felt so sorry. What was the poor old... What was the actress wearing?
She was wearing a full-length red dress, completely sleeveless, and the water was pouring on top of her.
I know. Absolutely crazy. All that for 10 seconds of filming. I mean, who'd believe it? Just bonkers.
So whilst Sally and Kate have ventured up to the top of the waterfall, I'm down here at the bottom being absolutely drenched by spray. There is an absolutely fantastic rainbow though. It's almost a perfect circle if you stand in the right place. Trying to photograph it's quite difficult, to be honest. Especially with my face being lashed by all of this water that's careering off this tremendously high waterfall. So today we've arrived at Kerrid Crater, which is basically a huge hole in the ground with a pool in it. But when I say huge, it is on an absolutely massive scale. I can see the car park just over the ridge from where we're standing now, and there's a big coach parked there. And if you stood it end to end, you'd probably fit about 10, maybe 15 of them end to end, from the bottom of the crater up to the top. And it's surrounded by this red rock, which is all volcanic. And then that's interlaced with green moss, which is really vibrantly standing out on what is quite a dull and rainy day. And as I look around the ridge of the crater, you can just see a line of people staring down into it quite ominously. And at the bottom of the crater, which I know Sally will describe in a moment because I think she's heading down there, there's this beautiful turquoise pool, which is ovoid. And people are walking round it at the bottom as well. It's rather an interesting looking bench down there as well, which if you sit on it, I think you probably get your feet a bit wet because it looks like it's right on the edge of the water. Maybe people will take their shoes and socks off and experience the freezing cold water on their feet. It really is a stunning spot, and despite the rain pouring down, it's very photogenic indeed.
So while Tom is up the top of the crater, standing high up above me on the ridge, I've walked down nearly 200 steps, right down to the water's edge inside the crater. And I know Tom said something about a bench, and I can just see somebody sitting on the bench, and he's actually put his feet in the water. And I'm going to just stick my fingers in the water now. And yeah, I can confirm it is absolutely freezing cold. However, having said that, it is also crystal clear. Apparently the water is somewhere between 7 and 14 metres deep in the middle, but it does look a very aquamarine blue colour, and you can see all the rocks underneath the surface. And no, I haven't seen any fish. The volcano was said to be a cone shape and formed about 6,500 years ago. They believe that the magma chamber, which was the lava basically in the bottom right underneath the volcano, burst through the top, flowed over the sides and caused the top of the cone shape to drop down into the crater where the magma chamber had emptied itself, hence creating this sort of giant pond, really. And it's absolutely stunning down here. It's just high, steep sides, rocks around the edges, and a very, very still pond. I think I might just go for a little walk around. So Tom's now walked down into the crater. Hello, Tom.
Hello. It's beautiful down here, isn't it? Oh, and there's some reflections coming back on the water now. It's getting a bit stiller now the rain's stopped. I am brave taking my hood off.
Oh, crikey, Tom, don't scare the listeners.
Oh.
It's a lovely little walk just round the crater, actually.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a muddy path. A little bit rocky in places, but if you're careful, you should keep your feet dry.
Yeah. It just gives you the perspective of the size of the place, doesn't it? When you walk all the way around it and see the little pinpricks of people on the other side and on the ridge as well, with the sun behind them, silhouetted. It's quite impressive. What's been your highlight, Sally?
Crikey. I think discovering that my mobile phone is waterproof, because I've been taking photographs under the water, and I know some people are going to think, what is she doing? But actually, it was really quite surprising, the results that I got. So I think, yeah, being here in the crater and seeing how clear it is underwater, which is something we wouldn't normally get to see, would we?
No, absolutely.
It's just amazing. And it is really blue under the water.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to head up the steps, and I shall see you back at the bus.
See you there. Well, the sun's set on one of our last days in Iceland. It's been an absolutely fantastic week. We've witnessed and encountered so many magnificent things along the way. It's definitely a country that I'll be coming back to in the future, I think, to explore more. And we're concluding this audio walk in Iceland's capital city after dark, Reykjavik, which is the largest habitation on the island. And I think that the majority of Iceland's population live in this city, but it's actually not that much bigger than the town of Harrogate, which gives you a bit of perspective in terms of the comparison in population between the UK and Iceland. And we're currently stood outside the Harper Concert Hall, which stands on the docks here in Reykjavik. And as the sun's dropped, they've lit some lights, some LED lights on the side of it, which are lighting up the night sky around us and emulating the effect of the Northern Lights, which we were privy to see on two nights of this trip so far, which has been absolutely fantastic, because some people come and never see it. So I think we've done really well there, but I suppose it's good to come here if you don't see it to actually get the effect on this big glass-clad building. Sally's now joined me at the docks to conclude this audio walk, and we're watching as a huge moon rises over the city of Reykjavik and lights up the clouds that are brooding all around us. I'm not sure whether we'll see the northern lights again tonight, but we can still keep our fingers crossed, can't we?
Well, there's certainly some gaps in the cloud, which is better than it's been today, hasn't it? Because it's been quite a wet day today.
A bit of dampness, haven't
we? Quite a bit of day. But it's a nice way to end the week. So for you, Tom, what's been the highlight of this week?
I think just the scale of nature over here. So the waterfalls, which, I mean, you go to waterfalls in the Yorkshire Dales and they look impressive, but here they're just about 50 times larger, aren't they?
Easily.
It's just incredible. And also the bleakness of the country as well, but the beautiful bleakness of it. You can travel for miles and it's quite flat, and then you suddenly see a snow-capped mountain appear out of nowhere.
Yeah,
it's just a very unique country, and people are always very friendly, aren't they?
It's been amazing. And the best part about it, all the Icelanders speak English.
Yes.
So we don't massive help for us.
Make sense of all the complicated consonants and vowels that they seem to layer up, and the weird symbols and things.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just been an absolute phenomenal week, really. And you know, just to get the opportunity to see things we wouldn't normally see.
Have you got a specific highlight?
Oh, well, for me, I think it would have to be going into the crater at the volcano, because it's something I studied when I was younger.
Yeah.
So to be able to say I've stood in a volcano that was, you know, live just over 6,000 years ago, and then I'm stood there now thinking this is amazing. I mean, for me, that was just amazing, really.
And I haven't mentioned the tomato farm, have I?
Oh, Tom, they don't need to know about the tomato farm. No, Tom. No, nobody needs to know that in Iceland they have these heated greenhouses with loads and loads of lights, and they grow all their fruit and veg in there, and Tom particularly likes the tomatoes.
Plus, where there's greenhouses and farms, you're not very far away from a nice-smelling tractor, are they?
Oh, Tom, we said we wouldn't mention the tractors. Anyway, it's been a brilliant week, Tom. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for joining me.
And we'll call it a day there, shall we? And we'll go toddle off and have a nice drink.
Indeed. Yes, okay. Thank you very much for listening to this audio walk from Open Country, courtesy of Yorkshire Photo Walks.
So normally at this point in our audio walks, it would all be over and finished. However, I've had a hand in editing this particular audio walk, and therefore I thought it'd be really funny to show you that we don't always get it right, and sometimes we get it quite wrong. So I've included a couple of outtakes at the end. Enjoy.
Ooh, it's definitely a bit nippier today. Whereabouts are there? Start again. Well, the sun has set on one of our last days here in Iceland, and we're in Reykjavik, the capital city of Iceland, which, to put it in context, is not really much bigger than Harrogate, really. It's definitely not the size of Leeds, that's for certain. It's only small, but believe it or not, 90% of Iceland's population lives here, which gives you an idea of how small the population of this large country is compared to...